Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Final hour for us. Still a lot to get into. Final hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. A couple minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Hawks win on opening night last night. A lot of positives. We'll get into that. Smoking Joe Patrick going to join us in 20 minutes as well. Get his thoughts on what it's going to take for the Falcons to get back on the winning track on Sunday against Tampa. If you missed our conversation with special teams coordinator Marquise Williams right off the bat at about 11:05, that is available on 92.9thegame.com, the Andy and Randy page. You can check it out where you get your Andy and Randy podcasts as well, which is the Odyssey app, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you consume podcasts, we're there. Subscribe. It'll show up right on your phone every single day. Or download the Odyssey app and rewind it back to the 11 o'clock hour. You can do it like that as well. We'll get to an AMA to wrap things up at 1:40 also.
Are you a good packer for vacations? Do you pack too much? Do you ever find not enough? Are you right on accurate?
I'm usually pretty good. I'm usually pretty good. If anything, I underpack.
Under? Interesting.
But that oftentimes is strategic because then I have an excuse to buy something.
Buy stuff.
When we're there. Like, I had this weird, I didn't even realize I was doing this until my wife called me out on it, like the last wedding we went to. I had this weird thing of like, I would pack dress clothes, but I would either not pack a shirt, like a dress shirt or a tie or something, because then I would want to get one when we were there. So it's like an excuse to get a new one. But then it was also this chore that we had to do before the wedding, and oftentimes it would add a time crunch, and it was a little bit stressful usually. She's like, hey, how come every time we go to a wedding, you decide you need to get a new tie, and then we have something we have to do half an hour before we go there? And I don't know the answer to that question. It was a weird psychoanalysis that I hadn't done on myself. But to answer your question in a very long way, I underpack more often than over.
A cruise is always an interesting vacation because you have what I would call the nightlife, which is dinner, casino, drinking, and I wear jeans and probably a button down or a polo.
But are you going to bring your red suit?
What red suit?
The red suit you have.
What red suit? I don't.
We got a, or maybe it's the red shirt. You got the suit that you wear, right? You've worn a suit last
you
time
mean
I say
a suit.
I thought your suit was red.
I don't have a red suit.
Oh, my bad. What was the suit?
Was it a sweater or something?
No. Last time I saw Abe, was there like a red tie and a red? You had a red tie and a red pocket square. I've seen you wear a suit twice.
I know where this was. It was with a red shirt.
Okay.
I'll tell you later where it was.
I remember where it was.
Okay. I got made fun of quite a bit for that. I don't know why. My bad for trying to look nice.
It was a sad day. We still had time to make fun.
We were given direct orders to not wear a certain color, and so I didn't wear that color, and then I got made fun of for the color that I did wear.
Yep.
By the way, another admission of guilt, I guess, whatever. I have never been to Buc-ee's.
Okay.
And my dad is as you would imagine, is a fan of Buc-ee's.
Mm. Everyone's a fan of Buc-ee's, pretty much, except for Randy. Randy absolutely hates it and will never go there.
And so
I've been to a couple, and I think that they're fine.
My dad is making sure that on the drive to Jacksonville, we hit up a Buc-ee's.
Okay.
Probably on the drive back, I would imagine.
I would say go into it with enthusiasm.
He's told me I have.
And an adventurous spirit.
He told me I have, and I quote, carte blanche on the jerky wall.
Look, the jerky wall is nice. So if you're a jerky fan, Buc-ee's can be for you. They also have decent food.
That's what he told me yesterday.
That's just an awesome thing to say to somebody. Carte blanche on the jerky wall. Okay, good. The jerky wall is good. And I'll be honest, like, all the stuff is good. It's fine.
Just lots of people there.
It's a lot of people there. And it's, I mean, at the end of the day,
it is still,
it's just a fancy gas station.
Yeah, okay.
That's what it is. And it's better than most other ones. But like at the end of the day, it's just a fancy gas station. It's not
It's our lunch stop.
It's not to me a life-altering experience that I've had. It's fine. The stuff's pretty good. The bathrooms are clean. There's a lot of pumps, which is nice, so you don't have to wait in line to get gas in your car or anything like that. But like this cult that has developed surrounding it and this energy that people have for it, if you say anything not glowing about it, is remarkable.
Does the beaver have a name?
Bucky, I believe.
The name is Bucky. Okay.
That's the one thing that I find very interesting. Like, the amount of clothing and blankets that they sell. People literally are walking around wearing t-shirts with just a gas station on it. Like, that's a gas station.
I know, but what's, I mean, I know what you're saying.
You would never wear a tie-dyed, no offense, but like a tie-dyed BP shirt?
I'm just wearing a Smoky Mountains National Park t-shirt right now.
Honestly, you know
what? I like national parks.
I thought about that just now, and if I had a pretty cool racetrack t-shirt, I'd
probably wear it. You got a Tabasco shirt on right now. You just got a hot sauce shirt. I know, but you know what I mean? Like, some people love gas stations. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But okay, well, I'm...
I'll report back on the Bucky's experience.
Yeah, I can't...
Or not. You probably
no, 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 you should, because there's nothing... There's a lot, I mean...
The guy who normally stands here...
It's one of my favorite things is for people to try to tell Randy about Bucky's, because he's not going to go. Like, he's just not. Like, it's one of the things...
Oh, and you can imagine, Randy, you gotta...
Oh, yeah.
You gotta go at least once, man.
Once Randy has decided he's not gonna do something, and then people enthusiastically tell him he
ought to
do it.
Didn't he sit in the car for 20 minutes?
Yeah.
What did he say?
His family went, and he didn't go in. Because he's a stubborn man. He's a stubborn dude. It's one of the hallmarks of Randy. It's one of the things that makes him the best. One of my favorite things is when Randy has dug his heels in on something and then other people are trying to get him to do it, watching him just be infuriated trying to listen to people tell him to do stuff. It's great.
Well, his reasoning behind not wanting to go into Bucky's is sound, though. If you don't like crowds and you don't like like groups of like people.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't go.
But that's not why. He just doesn't want to go because everyone tells him he should.
Yeah, yeah. It's a stubborn thing.
It started with how excited Wendy was about it. And Randy was like, well, that sounds dumb. I'm not going. Like, that's what it was. And it was just a choice he made right there. And now that's how he is forever, which is amazing. All right. Let's get to the big story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Non-surgical treatment for joint pain. Bow! Harmony there.
61-53. Now here's Trey back with a long three. That's good. He got knocked down to the floor. They didn't call a foul, though, but he gets the three-pointer. And the Hawks trail by five now. 61-56.
I don't mind any physicality. I feel like our team doesn't either. I feel like we're going to stick up for each other. I think this is a different type team that I've been a part of, and everybody's going to stick up for each other. It shows, and you can feel it when you're on this team. And so I think you saw tonight, like, even O sticking up for Dre, like, I mean, O had no business in being in there, but went over there and checked him, and it was good. Like, that's part of it. Like, I mean, there's been times teams done that to us in certain things, and nobody said a word or did anything about it. So it's a good sign and a great start for us. If people don't like it, I mean, that's on them. I love it.
Now, I hadn't heard that. I hadn't heard Trey reference the fact that previous, because he's only played here, and we've covered all the teams, right? So I guess in years past, when there'd be little dust-ups like that or hard fouls, it didn't feel like people had each other's backs.
And I think a lot of that was from him, right? A lot of it was him taking the bumps that people, that he felt someone should have stepped up.
Okay.
Question. I'm pretty sure without looking statistically, Trae Young has led this team in technical fouls over the last number of years.
Yeah, definitely.
Dyson Daniels is coming for that crown, right?
You think so?
Maybe.
I don't know. Like,
he
feels
like he's going to get into it once every game.
I don't know.
It's one game.
I'm not sure just because, you know, one game of him playing and watching closely. I didn't watch him all that closely when he played with the Pelicans. He just seems... And I mean
here
this
for it.
He's not going to be trifled with, which is great.
Right.
And he got a hard foul. I mean, Claxton got kicked out of the game last night for clotheslining him, but he didn't get like angry. He just wanted to let Claxton know that he wasn't going to have any of that. Cause he didn't even have the expression on his face didn't even change.
No,
he got clocked across the nose and cleaned out on the floor. And again, Claxton got a flagrant too and got kicked out of the game for that.
Yeah. See ya.
And he just popped up. He looked like, Mike Myers, like just expressionless. He popped up. He walked over to him, turned him around, and wanted to let him know, I assume in an Australian accent, that you're not going to do that. We're not here for that this year, which I like. I don't know that he's going to get into that every game. If he does, great. But he doesn't feel fiery. He just feels like, I'm not taking any crap.
It also might, I don't know, maybe you feel differently. Like, maybe on some level it does change how teams approach the Hawks little bit.
Not
a ton.
If they give you reason to be less physical with Trey, that would be helpful. That would be helpful.
At times, it has felt like teams could come in and push this team around.
Yeah.
If there's a little bit of edge towards not being able to do that, it probably serves well, most notably for Trey.
Yeah, and look.
It's one game. I know. I don't want to.
Maybe that's what it'll be, and that's great. I like that they feel that way. I like that they feel like they've got each other's backs, and that's really important. Dyson Daniels was really good last night. It was really fun to see him play 35 minutes in the starting lineup for the Hawks. He was a +7 in those minutes, 15 points. Did hit a couple of threes. And the jumper looked pretty good from downtown. It's funny because obviously that's something he's had to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And the mechanics on the free throws are a little janky. Seems like he's worked probably harder on the three than the free throw, which whatever. I mean, one's worth a lot more than the other one is.
Right.
But five steals is vital. He feels like defensively on the perimeter what DeJounte was kind of told, what we were told he was going to be and really wasn't ever.
Right. Yeah.
If Dyson Daniels is that, then his fit is perfect.
And I think a couple things. Obviously, Dyson doesn't have... I think the offensive pressure that DeJounte came in with.
Nope.
And I think that probably helps.
Yeah.
Right, he should.
Great.
I think that probably helps to allow him to do what we saw him do defensively. Were you surprised he was in the starting lineup yesterday?
No.
I always thought they would ideally keep Bogey on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter slides into the lineup, and you didn't really have another choice. I didn't think you were going to start Reece Ishay. So
I hope at some point you can. I don't know what that's going to take, but I hope... You know, by January or something like
It'll be a process.
It could be Reece Ishay instead of Hunter, and Hunter can come off the bench.
He was great off the bench last year.
He
really was.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter had his best year last year off the bench when they moved him to that role.
Right.
And, look, I know, you need to have a good second unit. Okongwu was fantastic last night, 28 points. I still like Okongwu in the starting lineup. I like Okongwu starting over Capella, but these are sort of nitpicky things. Okongwu played... more minutes than Capella did, and he played in crunch time.
That so also,
we get hung up on who starts. It's really who finishes and plays more minutes.
But,
and Okongwu played a lot more minutes last night.
And Okongwu may start a couple games based on matchups and what the other teams try and do inside. Like
he may.
There are going to be other teams who like to use their big guy inside that maybe I want Capella on, and if he needs to stretch to defend a more mobile five, maybe use Okongwu. They can rotate.
It's just tough when you get a situation like last night where the Nets – like, they go pretty small, and they've got a relatively small guy defending Capella, and there's just no threat of him in the half court.
You
can't,
I feel
you can't dump it down to – I know teams don't dump it down to guys, but you kind of can with Okongwu because he's got a bit more post game. You can't – I mean, Capella catches and lays it up or catches lobs and dunks, which is fine. He's been very effective.
It's
got
to be one step, no dribble to the rim.
But there's no, like, mouse-in-the-house stuff with Capella because if he tries to dribble the basketball – oh, man, who knows where that thing's going to end up. All right, Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on where the Falcons are at health-wise this week. We'll look ahead to the game against Tampa on Sunday as well, maybe what he feels like he learned from the loss against Seattle. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Check it out. You already know this your folks.
Trillville.
Yes, sir.
And you already know you tune in to 92.9 The Game with who?
Andy and Randy.
Yes, sir. Welcome back, man.
Whoop.
Whoop. Hey, Falcons fans, join 92.9 The Game and Bud Light for a Falcons versus Bucks watch party on Sunday, October 27th. That's this Sunday at 1 p.m. at Hammerhead Seafood and Sports Grill in Suwannee. Watch a Falcons game with me. You can also win some Falcons tickets, autograph Kyle Pitts helmet, enjoy specials on Bud Light. Must be 21 plus, and please drink responsibly. But if you're looking for a place to watch the Falcons road game coming up on Sunday afternoon, you can come hang out with us at Hammerhead Seafood and Sports Grill in Suwannee. We'll be there at 1. We'll be watching the Falcons game.
I saw a story. Kirk Cousins bought a house in Suwannee.
Is that right?
Yeah.
A lot of nice houses up there.
Apparently.
Nice place to live. I used to work at the River Club, the golf course up there. Pretty nice houses in there. Pretty good place to be. Maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll get back up there someday.
Maybe not as a worker.
No, yeah, maybe not. Well, yeah.
Go the other end.
But probably not as a resident either. But maybe they'll have like a charity golf tournament or something like that. We can get back up there. It was a fun place to work, though. A lot of like former Falcons and stuff and former Braves are always in there playing golf, hanging out, drinking beer. It's a good time. All right, let's get to Smokin' Joe Patrick. Smokin' Joe Patrick every single Thursday at this time, our Falcons insider for 92.9 The Game. Joe, how are you?
I'm good, Andy, and I couldn't help but think about Michael Scott when you're talking about, you know, a golf country club. It's like the inside, his joke about inside jokes. It's like, you know, I love golf country clubs. I'd love to be a part of one someday.
Yeah, exactly right. One of my favorite things is to visit, and then they politely ask me to leave every single time. It's been fun. It's been fun.
Yeah, sir, what's your membership number?
Yeah, you should come back in a year, maybe, or whatever. Maybe not. Maybe never. Maybe never. All right, let's talk about Sunday, last Sunday first, and just sort of what an unusual performance, certainly by this year's standards, it was for the Falcons. Raheem has said flat a number of times. He said it again yesterday. I totally agree. Some of the players said that they don't feel like that, but that's what it looked like to me. Can you explain, or do you have a theory as to why they may have looked like that?
Yeah, I would also say I thought it was flat. I think, though, that, you know, I'm never one to really criticize a player's effort unless it's completely obvious, because these guys, you just never know what individual guys are dealing with injury-wise, especially in a sport like football. But to me, what was the flatness in that game was, it was kind of two parts. But I thought from the players, it was like a mental flatness. I think that was kind of what was most evident, especially when you saw the offense take the field on that opening drive and, what was there, three false starts on that opening drive. Like, that to me just tells you that you're not kind of, you know, alert and ready to play. And then we saw, you know, some miscommunications or just guys. Yeah, we were actually just talking to Justin Simmons, who he took full responsibility for the touchdown that happened at the end of the first half that really, in my opinion, changed the whole tenor of the game and the way that the second half unfolded. And, you know, he just said it was, you know, like, we can't, like, assume things. We have to constantly be alert, be communicative when we're out there about what we're seeing from the opposition. And then, you know, you just can't assume that because it's maybe a play or, you know, a presentation that you saw in kind of like opening day installs, you can't just assume that you know exactly what your teammate's doing and vice versa. So you just always have to be on your toes in that respect. And I just thought that that's the main area where the Falcons were lacking. Because when you go back and watch the tape, I mean, like the offense really did ultimately, you know, move the ball relatively decently, just obviously wasn't able to punch it in the end zone and really make the crucial plays when they had to. And then the second half you had turnovers. So there's just, you know, I honestly think it can be one of those moments that ultimately proves to be a positive for a team in the long run, where you just kind of have one of these kind of, you stumble and scuff your knee up, but then you get up and keep running. Or, you know, it can happen that, you know, it can be what is the first of many kind of blows that a team takes that they can't overcome, which we've seen, I think, especially last season, where that really happened to this team. So I think these next few weeks are going to be really interesting to see how they're able to get over that performance. And, you know, what a better test than a division opponent that really would allow you to take control of things in the NFC South.
Joe, I think there's a couple ways to ask this question. I'm not really sure which way I'm going to go with. I'm just going to walk into it.
Do it the mean way.
Well, it's not about that.
Let's do it.
Look, you're coming off of three NFC South games that were relatively emotional, relatively intense. And I wonder how much maybe those three games leading into Seattle kind of, and I'm not looking to give the guys an excuse, but kind of played a factor in them coming out flat. But on the flip side, you come out of that game with Seattle, and now you've got to ramp it back up to that level. And I think maybe that will actually help them return to form. How do you view playing three straight NFC South games? And then maybe is it beneficial that you have another one now that you really have to dial it in and focus on because the importance is so much more ramped up?
Well, I think you're spot on, Abe. I think that really did contribute to, you know, the lack of energy that we saw from the Falcons team. And again, actually, I'll just come out and say it, and I hate to do this. It's like the last thing I ever want to do.
Do it.
But the fan, like, the it was just not
blame
allowed.
The fans, Joe.
It was not a loud, intimidating environment there on Sunday. I'm sorry. I got to say it. Like, the loudest it ever got was, like, from someone dancing during a TV timeout. You know, and I just say that as someone who has been there for every game this year and has seen the stadium be absolutely roaring, you know, rolling and rocking, you know, for some of these division games, especially the primetime games. It's been absolutely crazy in there at moments, especially at the end of that Buccaneers game with that epic comeback. And it just wasn't like that. And I think part of that is natural. Like, it's a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday. You had a late Georgia game the night before. Who knows if that's impacting things, but it just wasn't the same environment. And, you know, I get it. Like, the team also has to give the fans something to cheer about, but, you know, this was a team that was coming off of a 3-game winning streak, and it just all unraveled. It's not to lay all the blame there or anything. It's just, you know, it's just how the day went. And I think you're right, Abe, that, you know, just kind of getting back into that competitive, you know, division feeling of this is a moment for us to really grab hold of really take the reins of the rest of our season. Like, if this team wins this Sunday against the Buccaneers, they basically have the tiebreaker over the only other team that's competing in the division right now, the way the Saints are going after their hot start. And you really, you know, it leaves you with really needing to win 5 games the rest of the way. If you get to 5-3 through the first 8 games, really, you just kind of need to go 5-4 the rest of the way, finish at 10-7, and you're almost guaranteed to finish above the Bucs, especially with the injuries that they're now facing to their wide receiver core that's going to substantially change that team. So I think for that reason, you know, it's probably the most important game of the season to date so far for the Falcons for that reason.
Smoking Joe Patrick joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy talking Falcons as we do every Thursday at this time. Let's look. I think I asked you this a couple weeks ago, but now we're closer to it and we're starting to see more trades happening, certainly at the wide receiver position. Is that something that you think the Falcons would really try to do? I mean, they went out in training camp and made a signing in Justin Simmons and made a trade to get Matthew Judon when not a lot of us were actually talking about that. Do you think that they would address their pass rush via trade before November 5th?
Man, it's so tough. It's so tough because it's obviously like you need help there. You need help in generating the pass rush. That is not a debate. Right. I think the debate is whether you will be willing to give up yet another draft pick, at least one from next year's contingent that you only have 5 left. You've already given up a third for a guy that you traded for at that exact position, that you thought was going to help and that has not really helped thus far in Matthew Judon. And you, you know, lost the 5th rounder because of the sanctions that came down from the league based on the tampering allegations from last year. So, or from the previous draft. So, or whatever it was, the free agent signing. So you're already shorthanded in that respect. And it's a matter of, you know, can you give up more? Are you willing to give up like a 1st or 2nd round pick when you know you have additional needs coming down the road with, you know, you're going to need a right tackle at some point soon to prepare for when the Michael Penix era starts and to protect his blind side. You've got, you know, there's edge rushers you could take in the draft, but if you're giving up, you know, a top pick, maybe some of those are off the table. I'm hesitant to say that I would, actually, if you're just asking my personal opinion, if I'm kind of playing the armchair general manager of this team. And the other thing is that you have players on this team who I think have shown some flashes, but they're just not getting reps. And I'm thinking about guys like Zach Harrison. Arnold Ebikadi, I think, has actually looked pretty good from what I've noticed this year, but he's just not getting into the game except for some of these obvious pass rush situations. Maybe you can use him more, and that will kind of help spark some things for you. And who knows, maybe if Arnold Ebikadi gets going, he draws more attention to his side, and then, you know, with Matthew Judon on the other side, he can, you know, start having more success. I think that's the way I would try to, you know, improve this unit or this aspect of the team versus trying to just go out and bring a body, a quality player in, no doubt. But, you know, I just think that it's the more pragmatic way to go about it. And then the other thing is, you know, where there's so much focus on the edge position because that is where they need the help. But you also wonder, like, well, what if they got another linebacker and then were able to use Caden Ellis more as like a pure edge rusher where he had a lot of success in New Orleans or even an interior defensive lineman, even though the team already has plenty of those. But all I'm saying is maybe there's other players as well that you could add to the team that might not be as big of a lift in terms of what you would need to give up to get a player like that that could actually improve the performance in some of these areas that have been lacking.
Joe, when you look at the Buccaneers offense without Evans and Godwin, what maybe changes for them? And then on the flip side, how are the Falcons prepared to deal with maybe a different looking offense from what we saw a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I just asked Justin Simmons that. And of course, you don't really get an answer. They're not going to like tell you exactly what they're seeing on tape or whatnot or what they're expecting from a strategic reason. But, you know, I would have to say that I would expect that this Tampa Bay offense to kind of return to more of an extreme of what they were last year under Dave Canales, which is like running a lot of this quick game stuff. If you look at their skill positions, I mean, they've got some fast players still in that wide receiver core, especially a guy like Trey Palmer, who can create some explosives for you. And then they've got these three running backs, and I would expect them to try to utilize as many of those backs as possible that they've had success with. And, you know, especially a guy like Rashad White is a great receiver out of the backfield. So I would expect them to try to get a lot of motions involved, try to get the Falcons feeling flat-footed. And then also I think they're just kind of trying to make this as sloppy and ugly of a game as possible. I think if you're the Buccaneers, you got to come to terms with the fact that you're not going to go out there and score 30 points most likely. So how do we win without doing that? And that's going to be, you know, trying to control the clock as much as we can, you know, utilize the ground game, try to establish ourselves in that respect. And I think for that reason, the Falcons have to be ready for, after what was a shootout against this team at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think they got to kind of get themselves ready to really play a physical style of football against this Buccaneers team. I think that's the mentality that they'll have.
We don't have long, Joe, but hopefully it's not a long answer. Where are the Falcons at health-wise?
I think they're pretty solid, honestly. They are hoping to get Troy Andersen back this week. I saw him doing some, like, straight-line sprinting yesterday. But I think the best news for this team is that Matthew Bergeron was a full participant in practice yesterday after being knocked out with a neck injury, which is, like, potentially a catastrophic situation for a player. So great to see him back. The one thing that cropped up yesterday, and as soon as I get off this phone call, I'm going to be going out to look at practice to see if Ryan Neuzel's out there, because he missed practice yesterday. They're already down Drew Dahlman, who's on IR. So if he can't play, they would be going to their third-string center in Matt Hennessy, who they just signed, who's been with the team prior. That's the big one we'll be watching out for this week, I think.
When you find out that information, will you tweet it?
I will absolutely tweet who's out of practice today.
All right, good. So we'll stop.
Just for you, Andy.
We'll stop distracting you from your job. Joe, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter. He's about to walk out on the practice field right now and tell you who's out there. Only way to know what he's going to tell you is follow him on Twitter, at JAPatrick200. Why wouldn't you? It's free. He's giving you good info. He might pick a fight with you if that's what you're into, because he loves fighting on Twitter. It's all there. It's all possible. The phone lines are open if you want to call us up and ask us anything. 404-726-0929. We wrap the show up with an AMA every single day. So call us up. We'll do our best to answer your questions after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. AMA, ask me anything to wrap the show up every single day. We've got a bunch of callers on hold, but one line free if you want to call in and get on hold, 404-726-0929. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We'll start with Mike, who's in Atlanta. Hey, Mike.
Man, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Mike.
This one's going to take some thought. If you can make one world-changing invention that not only would retire you, but retire your family bloodline. For me, I would do the cure for cancer. I get a whole bunch of high schools named after me. But think on that one. I'm going to hang up and listen.
There you go, Mike. So Mike's curing cancer, so he's got that one. There's going to be Mike in Atlanta high schools all over the world.
Now, how do you monetize that?
I don't know.
Because I don't remember. Was it polio vaccine? Like the guy like just put it out in the public and made no money?
I don't know, but isn't that great? Like what a hero.
I was selfish.
Jonas Salk, I think was that guy's name.
Yeah,
right?
I was selfish. I would have just said like.
So you're going to be like the guy that bought all the AIDS medicine and then like tripled the price?
No.
What was that guy's name? Martin Shkreli?
You're right. Not from that aspect, but like when he was like, what would you do? I was like, like teleportation. Like I create teleportation.
Sure.
Now that
I've always thought about teleportation as far as like, because there's got to be a catch, right? Like you can't just be like, all right, because I every time I'm in an airport,
it depends how much you believe in the space-time continuum.
Every time I'm in an airport, I'm like, man, I wish teleportation existed because I hate flying. But I'm like, but you can't just be like, click your fingers and there, snap your fingers and be like, all right, I'm in Atlanta now. I'm in Seattle.
No, there'd be a device,
but there'd also have
landing spots.
There'd have to be a cost. There'd have to be a cost. Like you'd have to be exhausted or like even with flying, like you can fly, but it would be as exhausting as running or something like that. So a lot of people couldn't fly for very long.
How long is the run?
Right. Exactly. Or how high can you fly? It's kind of like how fast are you? Stuff like that. I would do something with like turning salt water into fresh water, turning dirty water into fresh water, basically allowing access to
You've
clean,
invented
drinkable.
Boiling. Congratulations.
Well,
I'm kidding. I know.
But like allowing access to clean, drinkable water to people all over the place.
How about like a real weight loss situation?
Yeah.
Well, because I could use one where it's like, you know, I take a pill and I can eat what I want.
Ozempic.
No, but like a real one. Like with,
it's real.
But there's downsides.
Yeah, I mean,
I want to know downside.
I think
eat
at
what
some
you
point,
want, also eat this vitamin and you're good.
At some point, maybe that could happen. I think with the Ozempic stuff, like, people are losing weight. But I feel like one day you're just going to go to the bathroom and you're just going to crap out all your organs. And it's going to be like, oh, man, but you dropped like 40 pounds, though.
then apparently you dropped another 40.
That's what I mean. Yeah, all in one. All right. Brandon's in Kennesaw. Hey, Brandon.
What's up, guys? Appreciate the time. I was calling to see whatever happened with that guy who sent in that Falcon song. You're supposed to play it every time they won. I was looking forward to that. And also,
yeah,
what's on your playlist every time you're trying to make baby? What's the baby making music you guys like? I appreciate you guys. I'll hang up.
Yeah, we definitely forgot. Like, we played the Falcon song. The guy did a great job. I think it's called I'm a Dirty Bird. Is that what it was called? I still have it, and we still have it. We played it before we did our keys to the game week 1. And then, or maybe it was week 2. I don't remember. But we were going to keep doing it, and we forgot. We could do it tomorrow. You want to do it tomorrow? We still got it.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So.
Another one of the shows they've missed, I guess. You know, we broadcast it.
I was here.
Oh, you were.
I would have been here.
Abe was even here that day.
I would have been here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so a listener sent me a CD.
Oh, yeah. I've heard you guys loosely talking about this off air. Physical media.
He sent me an actual CD. I still have it. I have it right here.
Is there cover art?
No cover art. And the song is called Excuse Me, I'm a Dirty Bird. Larry Rogers is the guy that made it. It was good. And we just, I don't know, we just sometimes... life is busy, complicated. I don't know. We'll do it. We'll do it tomorrow. I have no excuse. Really, we dropped the ball on that one, and we'll play it tomorrow. And if they win on Sunday against the Bucks, then we'll keep it in the rotation.
Okay.
How about that? Baby making music? Can't go wrong with D'Angelo. Like to get a little D'Angelo in the mix. And then I'll like stand in the mirror and hit the falsetto, flex on him. Not on them, just on her. There's only one. There's not them. Just sort of get the mood going like that. I don't have cornrows, but you can imagine what it would be like if I did. Lotto is in Atlanta. Hey, Lotto.
Hey, how y'all fellas doing?
Phenomenal.
My question is, what happened to the other young boy we had with the Atlanta Hawks? He was like a shooter, A.J. Griffin. What happened to him?
Yeah, so they traded him on draft night for a second-round draft pick, right? They traded him because they didn't have a second-rounder. I think I'm remembering this correctly. They moved him that night, and he has since retired. A.J. Griffin retired from the game of basketball, I believe, to pursue a life in the church, I believe. He had some stuff going on for sure. Like he had some stuff going on off the court the last couple of years. He missed some time for personal reasons. And when I say stuff going on, I legitimately don't know what it is. It's none of my business, but he was away from the team, for a time and traded him. And now he's out of the league. So it's crazy. Cause this first half of his rookie year played really well. Looked like he was going to be a bit of a steal. But it hadn't worked out for him, unfortunately. Cameron is in Kennesaw. Hey, Cameron.
What up, fellas? First question, Andy, have you placed a Prize Picks football wager this year? Just curious. But secondly, since you are the Prize Picks guy for 92.9, I feel like y'all could make that a Friday segment for the four of y'all or whoever's working, and y'all can just give a college football or NFL play for the weekend.
Yeah.
What do y'all think?
That's a Cameron, I absolutely have. I make Prize Picks wagers a lot. I haven't been doing great, but I've made a lot of them. But that could be something we add into the mix on Fridays, right? We do our picks against the spread, maybe because Bo does it too, and Bo's better at it than me. But maybe me and Bo can throw a Prize Picks play at you for the weekend or for Saturday too, because we do our picks against the spread every Friday at 12:40. So again, great work, listeners, helping us produce the show tomorrow. We'll remember to play that song when we do our picks against the spread. We'll incorporate prize picks. No, I mean, we'll play the song when we do our keys to a Falcons victory. We'll do a prize picks when we do our picks against the spread. Maybe Ed has some ideas for how we can do the show tomorrow, too. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. I got two quick ones for Abe and one for you, Andy, really fast.
Sure, sure.
Abe, two things. One, are you separate quarters or are you bunking with the old man? And two, is it difficult for your dad to get turquoise and belt buckle cleaner through security and customs, or do you have to get that, you know, when you get there?
Okay, good. And what about me, Ed? And then we'll answer all of them.
And Andy, for you, I need your take on this. Okay. Went to a new dentist today. Sir, would you like coffee, water, or a donut? And I thought, the strangest thing I ever heard. I just spent 20 minutes. Yeah, is that odd or am I crazy? Oh, have a great weekend, fellas.
Thank you, Ed. That dentist is a genius because if you pick donut, then he's got your business forever. He just wants you. I mean,
that's a trick question.
Coffee.
It's got to be a trick question.
That's
somehow.
The teeth clean. I mean, you need, you know, you get enough coffee in there, your teeth get stained. You got to clean those off.
If you choose donut, it's something like, I know we scheduled for next July. We're also going to need to add in a March visit, I believe.
Yeah. No, that's
if you choose donut.
That's just brilliant. Like, dentists across the board should be handing out candy to try to get people cavities and they have more business. But I don't know. I mean, hopefully you brush and floss, Ed. I haven't been to a dentist in 10 years. I admitted that a while ago. I'm not proud of it, but it is true.
Same, same. We are in the same room. We have obviously separate beds. We have the twin bed setup.
Is it a bunk bed situation?
No.
Oh.
No.
If it was, who would be top? Who would be bottom?
I don't know if he can get up.
Fair enough. So you'd be top.
To the top. So.
What happens, say, is your dad single?
No.
He's not.
No.
Okay, but you are. Yes. What happens, say, if you make a romantic connection
at
sea?
Plenty of places on the ship where you can find some privacy.
Okay. All right. You've thought of this. Because this has to happen, right? People definitely go on cruises, get a little tipsy, and then,
when we were younger,
you let the spirit take it.
Yeah, when you were younger, you might have a cruise hookup or something.
Great. Or maybe when you're this age.
Probably not now, but
maybe when you're this age. Don't.
I won't stop.
If you say no, then it won't happen. That's not what I mean. Like, if you go into it with that mentality, that's not what, yes, if somebody says no, but if you go into it with the negative mentality, then you're going to, You want some Blue Chew?
No, I think I'm good in that part. I don't think that's ever been the issue.
All right.
There's other issues.
All right, we're working our way through it. We're trying to figure out what they are. We'll have to talk about the other ones tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's get the takeaways of the day.
You right there?
I did. I like that. I thought that was pretty funny. Takeaways of the day every day to wrap up the show. We'll start with me. Abe, self-proclaimed, has a weird brain.
Yeah.
Has a weird
brain. We'll deny that.
But that's why we love you, though.
Some people talk to themselves. Abe actually counters his own arguments. And we also just found out that Abe knows the places on a cruise ship where you can sneak off with a lady.
Yeah, the freaky spots on a cruise ship?
Man,
that's great.
I used to be anti-Heath Bar because I thought it said health bar. And we're peddling love in the middays.
Not hate. Don't be mad. Just if you don't care about the LeBron thing, then don't care about it. You know what I mean? Don't go on TV and scream. Seems easy. We'll come back. We'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.